Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, there we go.
I'm sorry I was too busy drinking wine spolioli. There we go. Yeah, we can put the top back on.
Yeah.
So, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to another.
Got you some Sham Pipple.
Red Fox.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. We're sitting here being silly.
Yeah.
And I hope y'all are being silly too. It's a beautiful day outside.
Hey, let's just go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Spring is here.
Spring is done. Spring.
I've been seeing migratory birds for about 10 days now.
Mm-hmm. And all the Japanese plants, the trees, the bushes.
My azaleas
red
are
buds
starting
and,
to load up.
Oh, gotcha.
So nature knows when
confused.
Spring is, not the calendar.
They're confused. No, we're confused. They're not. So, anyway.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if we had one or two more freezes between now and,
oh,
and April.
Sure.
But people don't seem to understand. It still gets below freezing during spring.
Mm-hmm.
Being
below
freezing doesn't mean it's winter.
Oh, it can.
The same with fall. Both spring and fall are seasons that are flux.
Mm-hmm.
They're part summer, part winter, both of them.
Yeah.
That's what a spring and fall are.
Oh, I've seen it get so cold
and
in spring.
This
sometime.
Has been, I mean, I know we had 1 week of really cold, abnormally cold weather, but that's it. This has been the mildest winter in years.
But they're up north of us.
Oh, yeah.
No.
And not far up north.
Not far up north, yeah. That's right.
I mean, Nashville was having 3 days of ice storms.
Let me tell you what, my bougainvilleas are sitting there just waiting for me to take the cover off of them.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're all over Europe and the Mediterranean.
I still don't know what it is.
They're bright, brilliant purple and
the colors
red
don't help me. Is this a plant, a dog,
it's
a
flower.
Chicken?
It's okay. A flower that you cut it way back during the winter, and then it just... It gets twice as big the next year.
Explodes.
It explodes with brilliant colors.
Brilliant.
And my neighbors come by and they go, oh, my God, that thing is so gorgeous. How do you do it? I don't know how I do it because I've always killed them in the past. I've been lucky here. I guess I got the right. They love heat. They want it hot as it can be in bright sunlight. And I don't get them much sun, but I got the heat. They're trapped in that little courtyard.
Yeah.
And but those things they're I'll show you a picture when we get go on break. But
yeah,
beautiful plants. And
are they edible?
No.
Okay.
They look pretty though.
Yeah,
they look pretty.
That's not good enough for me.
But everything else I kill.
Yeah. Well, there's just to me there are so many plants out there that are edible and look like stuff that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like box ferns. Why would anyone have a box fern when you could plant a rosemary bush?
Yeah.
It's essentially the same look. You can prune it back the same way, you know.
And get more out of it and give it to your friends.
Well, also, and rosemary is as natural a mosquito repellent as there is. There's not really any such thing as a mosquito repellent that doesn't involve DDT, but, I mean, they will somewhat limit the amount of mosquitoes around you. So if you have a whole bunch of rosemary, you're going to have a lot. I do know of one mosquito repellent that works flawlessly.
Which is that?
Chimney swifts, the birds. They have them out at Five Rivers. They have a chimney just out in the middle of a field so the chimney swifts can live in it. One part of Five Rivers, if you go hiking in the hiking trails they have there, you'll get eat up by horseflies in the summer. I mean, just bad. You go to the other side of the park where they have the chimney for the chimney swifts, not a mosquito, not a black fly.
Wow. See, I'm a proponent of bats.
Yeah.
Love bats because and if I ever buy me a house again, I'm going to put up a bat house.
Yeah.
And they're easy to make. They're two
You're going to be bat house crazy.
2 4x4s and some plywood. You can build a bat house. And they love mosquitoes. They love mosquitoes and bugs, small bugs.
Critters.
No-see-ems and things like that.
Plus, their guano is great fertilizer.
There you go. I could start a business.
I mean, it's like prized fertilizer.
Oh, now you told me something new. So,
by the way, we had someone on our Facey Spacey that said, hey, you guys, have you ever heard of this fella, this Cortland William Richards fella?
Every now and then. I see Cortland. Him every now and then.
Morning, Cortland.
Great guy.
He's probably out taking beautiful pictures.
Great photographer.
Yeah. And if y'all don't know, you've seen his work.
I didn't recognize him one day because he didn't have his camera.
Or his hat. Every time I see him, he's got one of the big Australian sun hats.
Right. So I know the shrimp on the barbie. And... But you know. Great. He is a great guy. He is a great guy.
But if you need photography done, there's somebody.
Over in Florida, though. Well, he'll if the right price, he'll probably come over here.
Right price, he'll meet you in Tibet. That'd be a trip, too.
So, guess where I'm going next week.
Where are you going next
week? I'm going to Baton Rouge.
Louisiana?
Uh-huh. Are there any other?
There may be.
I'm going to look for that red stick.
You're going to go visit Lauren Murphy?
Not really. I'm going over there, maybe see David Hubble.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to the John Besh.
Boucherie.
The Boucherie.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Message Lauren and see if she and her daughter want to meet up for that.
You know what? I bet they won't because they're slaughtering animals.
Oh, come on. Lauren used to live on a cabin in the mountains of Northern California. I know. I've heard stories about her having to grab the rifle because there might have been wolves or bears outside and stuff. She ain't scared. She's from Baton Rouge,
son. She ain't scared.
She's from Baton Rouge.
But I'm going over there to see the Boucherie, and I might go to New Orleans Friday and go to the...
What happens in New Orleans?
They got the museum, the food and food and beverage museum.
Oh, so there's a reason to go to New Orleans?
There's a lot of reasons to go to New Orleans. But I hope I'm not. I hope I don't get caught in anything, like any parades or anything.
Another thing, if you've got the time, is... I didn't even know David Hubble said John Foles, not John Besh.
I'm sorry, John Foles.
Yeah.
Excuse me, John Foles.
Yeah. But go to the restaurant warehouse.
I don't know if I have time for that, but if I do, I will.
Have you ever been?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it is the biggest grocery store you'll ever see in your life.
I've heard a lot of
cranes to get to the shelves.
I've...
The meat shop has carcasses hanging in it. Whole lambs, whole goats, sides of beef.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is just foodie heaven.
Cool.
And every kind of pasta you can imagine.
That may have to be another trip.
So. Yeah. I ventured through there, and I probably spent maybe an hour and then headed out.
I know people from Mobile that rest on tours that do go over.
Oh, yeah, because that is a great way to get things you can't get in Mobile.
Yeah.
I worked at a place that we used to get our scallops from there. They would go – well, it was a Creole place. So they went over once every week or two to get, you know, things we couldn't get in Mobile that were classic Louisiana stuff. They would get these one-gallon cans of scallops, man, that popped open like a paint can. Oh, they were fine. Whoo! I don't know how much we paid for that can, but I bet it was
scallops out of a paint can.
Yeah, a one-gallon.
One-gallon.
Yeah, a great big old. Well, like, so you know, wine in cardboard boxes.
Yeah, that's called cardboard-o.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot.
So, well.
The Mardi Gras is on.
I have not gone to a parade yet, and I don't intend to.
Well, there have only been three.
I know, but I'm not interested right now. Maybe Mardi Gras weekend gets here, I will be.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid it as long as I can because I know I'm going to be there. You know, working throughout from time to time. 3 seconds. We got to hurry up.
Hey!
David Hubble, Southern Food and Beverage Museum. SOFAV is the place in New Orleans.
I can't wait to go.
Mike may have to call in next Sunday. A pork hangover is a wonderful thing, but you need a day to recuperate after.
I'm tough. I can make it.
All right, folks. We got to go to break. 251-343-0106. Mike, what in the heck is that number?
I think that's our text or call-in line.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Bandalón.
Who?
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael Giuseppe Bailey.
Si.
Last week, as you know, I was invited to attend the Lunar New Year celebration at Santa Monica Catholic Church. When we get done thanking our sponsors, we're going to talk about it.
All right.
There's your Class A tease.
There you go. So anyway, we want to thank our sponsors, Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy. Ate there this morning, as always, you know. Didn't have a big crowd yet, but it was beautiful, and it's going to be great outdoor
music. They may still be sleeping it off from yesterday.
It could be. Some of the people there were from the Inca Parade last night and ball.
they left the ball and went straight to Bob's?
I didn't see anybody in tails, but I didn't see any penguins. But anyway, they were there, and Marcus was getting set up when I left to come here.
Yeah, I saw he was playing down there.
He always plays on Sundays, yeah. And they kind of have a Dixieland band on Saturdays, and weather depending. Yeah.
And it is
it's a great
very,
band.
Very difficult discipline. That is probably the hardest form of modern music there is.
That's modern?
Well, yeah, it's not from the 1700s.
Okay.
You know, Bach didn't play it.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, it developed late 19th, early 20th century.
You must have took music theory in school.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
I also read James Gideon's book, Jazz, which is what, who's the documentary guy? You love him. The national guy.
Yeah.
Did baseball, did some about Mobile, did the Civil War. Anyway, that guy.
Yeah.
He based his documentary on jazz largely off of James Gideon's book, which was huge, man. This was like reading the Bible a time and a half.
David Hubble might write in and tell us who it was.
Yeah. Ken Burns.
Yeah, Ken Burns.
Yeah.
Love him.
He started with the entire history going back to Jelly Roll Morton, going W.C. Handy.
Has he done anything on Diners?
Are we talking about Ken Burns or James Gideon?
Any of them. Have they done anything?
Guy Fieri has.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. I know a place that would qualify for a Triple D episode.
Where?
Butch Cassidy's Cafe in
it
the
sure
heart
would.
Of Flo- Flochelle.
Where wouldn't it, though?
Yeah, would be a perfect place for a... I don't know if Roy can handle any more business.
Oh, boy.
There's a bump that comes with being on that show. Ask Pete.
And that's yeah.
Yeah.
everybody who's had the experience has got the bump.
It is like it's like a 30% bump instantly when it airs, and like a 10% bump every time they rerun it.
Yeah.
It just the gift that keeps on giving.
It does. I will tell you when I was with the Brick Pit and we were on the Cooking Channel,
right,
which is owned by Food Network.
Yeah.
All the shows.
Actually,
were on
it's
there.
Owned by Scripps Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever,
yeah.
every time they would show the Bill Armbrecht and Jerry, the business would go up.
Yeah, when Roger Mooking came through.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great guy.
He really is. I saw him tweeting. He has to because he did Man Food Fire, and he tweeted yesterday. He goes, pellet grills, yes or no? I've never used one, I haven't either. My thought is it is a shortcut for people who don't have the temperament that a pit master needs to achieve the same results that a pit master does without the constant intuition that is used in being a pit master with handling the fire and everything.
Now, I know Bill used them, or I don't know if he still does up there at Satsuma Chevron.
Yeah. That's great barbecue.
But I tell you who doesn't. Is Lebichon.
That's because they don't have barbecue, Mike.
That's right.
But they do have pimento cheese.
Lebichon, that's right. That would be good smoked, wouldn't it? Pimento cheese.
Just use a smoked cheddar.
Yeah, you could, yes. But they're over there in Daphne, and one of the finest.
Bits.
Huh?
Or add bacon.
There you
bits.
Go. But the one of the finest
Make
wine
the
bars.
Make the mayonnaise for it from scratch and use bacon fat instead of cooking oil.
We're just coming up with all kinds of things here.
That would be too much.
I guess Hall's sausage and Chickasaw, they use smoke.
Yeah.
In their meats.
Yeah, when they smoke. Yeah. When they smoke their sausages.
Smoking up there in Chickasaw. What street is that on?
Iroquois.
Iroquois.
Yeah. Which is the correct pronunciation, but it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
That's, you know, I just, when I've been there, I just look. Here was this commercial building.
In the middle of this neighborhood?
In the middle of a neighborhood.
Well, the neighborhood wasn't there yet. That part of the neighborhood. I don't think.
Now, I still think it's funny.
Yeah. All right, so we alluded earlier to me attending the Lunar New Year's.
And thank you, folks, for your
throwing money at us, keeping us on the air. That I went to the Lunar New Year celebration at Santa Monica Catholic Church on DIP. Mike, this was every bit as incredible as Greek Fest. Hmm. It was amazing. And I told them I would like to see that grow so big that they can't hold it in that circus tent next to their church. I'd like to see this be a larger event. And I'm thinking right down the road from there at Arlington Park. Because, you know, as I'm learning about this, most of Southeast Asia celebrates Lunar New Year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Israel celebrates Lunar New Year, not Solar New Year. And a lot of the places in that area do. Well, why not a Lunar New Year festival where each culture gets to set up kind of like International Festival, but all these Asian cultures that we have here in Mobile set up and show how each one of them celebrates Lunar New Year. And also, most people in this country, especially in this part of the country, see someone from Asia and they think they're all just Japanese or they're all just Chinese. The cultures are these are different nations, people.
Exactly, exactly.
Korea and Vietnam are further apart than the U.S. is from England, it looks like on the map anyway. I mean, this is a large continent with several different nations that have vastly different cultures. A lot of people go to a Thai restaurant, they expect soy sauce. They don't use soy sauce in Thailand. That's Japan, China, a little bit of Korea, and then Indonesia. But Indonesian soy sauce has chunks of sugar all in it. It's crunchy.
Yeah.
It's vastly different from what you get in those other countries.
There's a couple of comedians, Asian comedians. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, one is Filipino, and the other one's Korean. Mm-hmm. And they tell jokes about Americans or the world just thinks that they're all the same, but they're not.
They don't even look the same.
They don't even look the same.
They're vastly different. I can see an Asian person and usually tell you what country they're from because the characteristics are very different. Japanese people tend to be slender.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese tend to be a little shorter, squatter, not necessarily fat than I'm saying, just a different build.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a girlfriend in college who was from Indonesia, but her heritage was from China, and she represented all of those Chinese characteristics.
Yeah.
Also, one of the best girlfriends I ever had. She was intelligent enough to know that we didn't have a future. But I have brought with me part of the Lunar New Year celebration. My friends gifted me with some. This is called Bonzalon.
It looks like a Jell-O moon pie.
It is, well, you're going to have a bite here. It is a steamed cake.
Ooh.
But it is not very sweet, so go ahead and stick a piece in your mouth, Mike. And then pass that over to Steve. Let him gnaw on a chunk. And then we'll let Phil out of his cage in a minute.
Thank you.
Okay. You see, it is not sweet at all. Mm. Okay. Phil's like, I'm not waiting on the commercial. I'm going to come get me. Oh, he's going to take it all. Go ahead, man. I've got four more at the house. Mike, are you going to put it in your mouth or not?
I'm just trying to figure out the smell.
You're not going to because it's an ingredient you don't normally eat. See, it's not hardly sweet at all, is it?
Mm-mm.
But it's a nice texture. That is a mung bean, which is used a lot in desserts in parts of Asia as well. But that is
almost coconut taste.
Almost, yeah. And I don't know if there's any coconut milk in it. I highly doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't looked it up. But Bonzalon, which is what it is called, translates to steam mung bean layer cake.
To me, coconut milk and chewing on coconut itself is two different flavors. Yeah. And this reminds me more of actually chewing on coconut instead of the milk.
Yeah. And like I say, there may be coconut in that. I'm not sure. It would have to be the milk.
I'm picking up coconut. Yeah.
But that may just be the mung bean, too.
I've never had mung bean.
Because it's a sweeter bean. They make ice cream with it and stuff. It's a neat little bean. It's usually red, and sometimes they may call it red bean, but it's not like our red beans, which are red pinto. But it was a beautiful little pudding, and that's what I would describe that as a pudding or Jello is what we would describe.
I don't know if
it's thicker than Jello.
Is it a dessert?
Yeah, because American desserts are like 10 times sweeter than any other country.
Yeah,
we use way more sugar than most people.
I've had aperitifs that are sweeter than desserts sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's because sweet flavors at the beginning of a meal stimulate your appetite and make you want to eat even if you're not hungry, which is why so many appetizers at restaurants have a sweet sauce involved.
Well, this is interesting.
Yeah. Well, we're up against the break. And it's 251-343-0106. It looks like when we come back, we're going to be yelling at Cookie. I mean, talking with Cookie.
I was wondering. What are we going to yell at her about? Let's just talk to her.
About mung bean cake.
Okay. She probably got something for us on that. She probably knows something.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike, how did you enjoy your bon d'alon?
That was, you know, that was very interesting.
Exactly.
The center was soft, and the other,
almost
the outer,
custardy.
The top and the bottom was gummy bear like.
Yeah. You know? And that's a very good. And I think the gummy bears came, or someone who had boba tea, which is it's from Southeast Asia. It's a flavored tea that has these little pearls in the bottom that are made out of tapioca, which is a root.
Yeah, there's several
or rhizome
pokey places that serve that in around here.
And I think gummy bears came from them trying to imitate that boba tea texture.
Yeah.
So if you don't like gummy bears or you don't like boba tea, then you probably won't like this. If this is going to be something that for people where texture is an issue, this could be an issue. Or it could be something that they love.
Right.
People that are really freaked out by textures, which I understand completely. You know, it's a big part of food. There's no way of knowing which way they're going to go on a texture. They're either going to love something or hate it.
Right.
A lot of people that say they don't like coconut don't like the texture of the coconut flakes. But if you give them coconut milk, they would love it.
Yeah, you know, it's like I'll eat coconut on certain things.
I love it any way you want to do
chocolate.
I'll tell you.
Love roasted coconut.
Yeah, I was going to say, roasted coconut. Just get toasted coconut flakes, and you don't need anything else, man.
Yeah, I do. I probably need a steak and a baked potato. Stuff like that.
No, you don't need a steak and a baked potato.
But
you won't.
I don't eat stuff because I need.
I'll tell you, man, if you go with, and we'll be with Cookie in just a second because this is not a topic she's going to enjoy. On steaks, I've noticed the really expensive, the grass-fed stuff at the grocery stores are at affordable prices because they also give you a healthy portion. I went through Walmart the other day, and I almost never touched their meat. But they do have a good line of grass-fed and sometimes bison. It's a very small section. They had a ribeye for about $7.50. It's grass-fed. It was also about 5.5 ounces.
Yeah.
That's a small ribeye. But it's what you should be eating. In fact, 5.5 nutritionists would tell you still too much protein in one sitting. They crazy, but.
They ain't around here.
But Cookie is here, so I'm going to set the headphones up to make sure we can hear her yakking
on the online.
Just shush, Mike. Just shush. I'm an expert here. Cookie, did you want some of this mung bean cake?
Yes, but I wanted to enjoy all the compliments you've dished out to me recently, okay?
Well, I didn't figure you'd be into a conversation about dead animals.
Dead animals?
Yeah, steak.
Well, hey, you eat what you want to eat. Well, never mind. We ain't going to put any slants on that,
You
okay?
would love this, by the way. You would love this.
I used to. The best steak I ever had came out straight out of Chicago.
Oh, that not
and was
surprising.
Brought to a person who was my father-in-law at the time, And the best person to cook it was me, that was taught the method by a lady in Dallas who was the aunt of another boyfriend of mine when I was in college. Okay, so, yeah, I'm very familiar with that kind of thing. And my grandfather was a butcher. Okay. So, yeah, I'm not anti-steak. I like fish better, man. I have found the no-salt fish things lately, and they are... I just really, it's like the first time I fed my brother some, and he was a hunter, you know, meat and everything. It had to be greens, meat, beans, meat, you know, pasta, meat, rice, meat, you know. But the first time I fed him some greens and stuff without meat in it to season it, collard greens, I think it was, mm-hmm. he said, you know, you can really taste the vegetable. I think that speaks for itself. But no, what I'm getting to is, because this is, I'm really excited about this, you can probably hear, because I only read about it once, and I can't find which recipe book I have that has that. I knew it was Asian. Thought it was probably Japanese, the bean sweets that are a traditional sort of a thing.
Right. China and Japan both have those as well.
Yeah.
In fact,
how do you do them?
I go to the store and buy them from an Asian market. Those are, one of my favorite things is this Japanese ice cream called mochi.
I've heard of that.
Which is essentially an ice cream. That is wrapped in a dough, if you will. It's very different. It's very similar to the texture of this bandoulon that we had wrapped around it.
What?
Bandoulon, which is this little dessert that we were having, this Vietnamese dessert that we had in the last segment, which is made from mung bean. And I have
mung beans. Yeah. M-U-N-G, right?
Yeah, M-U-N-G. And,
okay, which stage of mung beans? Made from cooked mung beans or sprouted mung beans or what?
I don't speak any Vietnamese, and their English isn't good enough to tell me. So I just don't ask questions. They hand me something, I eat it.
Well, where can you find it here?
Try an Asian market. There's lots
which
of
which would be?
Saigon Market on Cottage Hill would probably be your best bet, especially since Saigon Market is specifically a Vietnamese-owned place that does all Asian food.
I love Vietnamese food, but I love Chinese food and Japanese food.
Yeah. Most Americans have never really had Chinese food.
Anthony Bourdain, I think, loved Vietnamese food than more than any food.
The country,
except
he
for
said
New Orleans,
he wanted to move to Vietnam. He wanted to let his citizenship in the U.S. go and become a Vietnamese citizen.
Well, I'm not leaving the Gulf Coast. I moved back here on purpose. I'm sorry, but you know, I just want to share.
Yeah, he just to each person, there's going to be that one place that speaks to your soul. And for Anthony Bourdain, it was Vietnam. And having spent time with these wonderful people, I can see why the hospitality is beyond what we do in the South. It's that good.
Provence.
Well, no, that's not true. Now I have had some excellent hospitality from some Vietnamese and some Thai restaurants and some food professionals in those Asian, you know, groups. And when I moved back from Washington D.C., that's the one thing that I thought that I would miss the most was that, you know, having the international influence of on everything, food, music, you know, all the things that I love, you know.
But we're a port city, and we don't know it.
It moved in with me, and now I'm so happy that it has.
We're a port city, and what most people don't realize when they think this other stuff is foreign when they see it is everything that we grew up with here is foreign to Mobile.
It's
came
great.
From somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
As far like gumbo did not come from Mobile.
We got to share like gumbo.
Right.
All right.
We
y'all
are a
take
port
care.
City.
Love you. Bye.
All right. Our culture and our cuisine here are a result of us being a port city and having a much more diverse citizenship than most of the South had. New Orleans is the same way. Houston, Tampa, all of them.
Oh, the whole country is.
Now, I'll tell you some other things that I had last week. They kept just shoveling food at Mike. You would have loved it. The first thing they did was hand me a Heineken. That ain't happening at Sims First Baptist Church. I can tell you that right there. They handed me a Heineken. I ate a couple of fried chicken feet. Those were fantastic. And I looked at Andrew, my friend, and I said, there is no delicate way to eat chicken's feet.
No.
You just shove it in your mouth, suck the stuff
that
off of it, spit the bones out.
Does it have the talons on it?
No. They took, well, keep in mind, my friends own a nail shop. They gave it a pedicure before we started. But,
I had a pedicure the other day, and I'm going to think about that every time I go get one. Get these feet looking delicious.
There was chicken on a stick, a little different than the Hunan version that we're used to. I didn't ask a whole lot of questions. They just handed it to me. But all of my friends were like, pointed the chicken feet, you eat? I said, two of them. Really?
I had grasped that. Well, maybe I just had them cooked the right
sauce
way.
You would have enjoyed
it. And actually,
it.
I've never had them offered to me. So.
Oh, yeah. And that was the thing. And I did not take any pictures or shoot any video. I was smart enough to ask first. Mm-hmm. We have to remember that if you're at a cultural celebration, you should adhere to that culture's folkways. So I asked, is it okay to take pictures? And they said, no, it is considered rude. I don't know if it's much to the, you know, any spiritual thing or anything like that as much as it was the church had employed a professional photographer and would then sell you the picture. The whole point of this was to raise money for the church.
Yeah.
They were doing bingo. They get this. I walk in and my friends see me. They go, get in line. Okay. I walk up. I get in line. I go up and this person presents me with this red envelope that has money in it. It was called Lucky Money. I got a dollar. Some people got a 50. You didn't know what you were going to get. I have left the dollar in the envelope, and I'm just going to – that whole thing is just going to be on my wall.
I understand.
It was just a beautiful experience, Mike. And you had the combination of people in their Sunday best dress, like you would expect downtown Mobile, after church, everybody's going to brunch, suit and tie, nice dresses, and traditional satin robes that were just gorgeous, the men and the women, the little kids. They had contests to see who had the best traditional garb for the little kids. Hmm. It was just an incredible celebration.
And that's right here in our own backyard.
Yeah. This is just at a local church.
Yeah.
How many churches in the area were doing the same thing? And it's a two-week celebration, Lunar New Year is. And it not every culture celebrates it on the same day, but the 2 weeks kind of overlap.
Right.
Why would that not make an incredible fundraiser or an incredible festival?
Yeah.
You know, and have, you know, this is the Vietnamese section, this is the Korean, this is the Japanese. Why not have a tent from Israel and show how they celebrate Lunar New Year?
Hmm.
I think that would be great.
Lunafest.
Would be just Lunar New Year. Steve Boyd said you Lunafest. I like it. That well, if you go with the root the entomology on the word Luna, that would also insinuate that it is a festival of insanity.
There's that.
Is the word lunatic comes from the same thing that the moon made people crazy. So that could be fun too. You might say that's what Mardi Gras is, a lunatic fest.
It is. It is.
Mike, what is that magic number?
251-343-0106.
And what can we do with that
You
number?
Can text on that line, or you can call us on that line, just as Cookie just did.
Yeah.
Or you can also send us messages on our Facebook page.
Like the one David Hubble sent, said, is Mike going to march in the Royal Order of Gumbo Parade on Joe Kane Day?
If my ankles will let me.
Cankles. Heck yeah. There you go. There's some New Orleans music.
I'm going to cover some birthdays and... Okay. Ask you about Dr. Safari, today's World Nutella Day. But listen.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that duck curry in a minute, Mike.
Okay.
What we need to do is we need to discuss real quick. If you're in downtown Mobile and you need breakfast, where would you go?
There's no place but like Bob's.
Bob's Downtown Diner?
There are places, but there's no place like Bob's Downtown Diner.
Yeah, and that's located on the corner of Fat and Happy. Fat and Happy, that's right.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I saw my friend Kevin's back in town. He came back from Panama. So he's back in there working. Anyway. Yeah. Bob's Downtown Diner.
Thanks for joining us, Mike.
So, and also, if you're ever over in Daphne, you've got to stop by Le Bichon Wine and Tapas Bar.
But not for breakfast.
Not for breakfast. They don't do brunch. They thought about it, and then I slapped them and got that silly idea out of their head.
Don't do that to your people.
Not everybody can do brunch.
Yeah. But you know what is good for breakfast?
What?
Hall sausage.
It is.
And wholesale meats there in Chickasaw. That venison sausage is
good. I was
good.
About to say, go get you some of that venison sausage.
And you tried the mango habanero, right?
Oh, yeah.
Little heat, little sweet. That's a good one.
Heat sweet.
And then that andouille. That takes the cake.
Oh, I love the red hots.
Yeah.
And I do cabbage instead of doing bacon. Do the red hots. And
I've done a red hot mac and cheese before.
Have you?
Really good.
Red hot. I
did it because Deborah told me that it would turn the mac and cheese pink, so I did it during Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
There you go. Well, see, I thought it would. I always shied away from red hots because I thought they were hot.
They should be.
They're sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, they're delicious. They're just absolutely delicious.
One of the things I love about Halls is theirs actually has some heat to them.
Mm-hmm.
They should be spicy.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't taste like bologna.
Yeah.
And a lot of them big names, and some of those big names are from right here in Alabama, don't make good red hots.
They don't.
Earl Campbell also came out with some for a while that were really good, but you can't hardly find them anymore.
Okay. And then we want to thank Roy over there at Butch Cassidy's.
Cafe.
Coming up on 30 years 30 in 2 months.
30 years, and the Butch Burger
now famous. Not a lot of restaurants can say that.
Breaking news, Butch Burger now famous.
Yeah, but everything else is working on being nearly famous. Almost famous.
And sometimes weirdly famous.
There you go. But hey, today is World Nutella Day.
Nutella.
Nutella.
Yeah, it's feminine, Nutella, not masculine. Yeah.
Okay.
In the romance languages, that means a lot at the end.
Okay.
O or is very important.
Yeah, I'll have some Nutella.
Nutella.
Nutella. I love Nutella.
Well, of course. It's hazelnut butter, basically, with cocoa powder added to it.
And I'll just do one piece of toast and spread some Nutella, although it's a half inch thick when I pour it.
One of the classic crepes is the crepe filled with Nutella and banana.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that is one of the classic ones. Well, I went to the food truck festival. They had a crepe shop. They were out of bananas and did it with strawberries. Oh, my gosh, that was good.
Hmm.
A crepe with Nutella and strawberries in it.
Fantastic. I got to do that. Because I love crepes, and I know how to make crepes, so I never had that.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to say happy birthday to Mike McLeod.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Mike McLeod, he's with the World Food Championship. He's president of the World Food. Yeah.
Inventorizer of it.
Inventorizer.
And prior to that, he took
thought of it first.
Before that, he had made his bones because he went to this little barbecue association that no one had ever heard of. And in 7 years, it was the Kansas City Barbecue Society, which hosts the Jack Daniels.
I hold a medal.
Yes, you do.
2013 from them.
Largest barbecue federation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned their barbecue competitions from fun get-togethers to money-making machines.
There you go.
And he saw the avenue to expand that to all cuisine.
Just one problem with him. He's a Tennessee fan. But that's all right.
But he lives in one of my favorite towns in Tennessee, Cookeville, Tennessee. If you haven't been, it's about an hour east of Nashville, rolling hills, edge of the mountains. You're 30 minutes from some of the best waterfall hikes in America.
I bet.
And the hotel room we had was an old refurbished King's Inn. We had a king-size bed. We open up the curtain, and we look across the valley, and it was $65 a night. It's one of the nicest hotel rooms we've ever had. Yeah, and I had rented a cabin for the rest of the time up in the mountains, and which was $105 a night, and the cabin was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But frugally, I kept thinking, is it $40 a night better? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the jacuzzi happened, and went, yeah, it's his
40th. It is. And we want to say happy birthday to Stoney Boatman. Now, a lot of people don't know Stoney, but he's one of the owners of the Icebox. He runs the Icebox, which used to be the Crystal Ice Company right there on Canal. Cool bar.
The only one I haven't been to yet.
After the nappies.
Yeah, okay. Very cool.
Makes great martinis, and he's a good, he makes great mixed drinks. And now they've opened up the back bar, which is like a big concert hall. Oh. Huge. And they can hold music in there. And they still have the aluminum walls.
It's bigger than
walls.
Huge. It's great big old.
Great big old. Yeah. That's right. So those are the two birthdays. He had a birthday. He's an old man now. He graduated from Davidson High School. Good Warriors. Anyway. of course, we got Mardi Gras going on. So, Stu, you got anything going on coming up with Delta Safari?
I am working on my top five fishing YouTubers.
Mm-hmm.
I've got permission to use their video.
Okay.
And what I'm doing is the five shows that I watch the most and enjoy the most. And they're all kind of different. And one of them is called Bama Saltwater. And this guy lives over in Orange Beach. And he's former military.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great guy, man. And he's three or four times a week he's putting out content.
Hmm.
And I want to get together and go fishing with him because this dude never fails. He caught a cowhead or cow nose ray the other day while fishing for something else. He's like, something big came on my sonar. Let me get a hook down. And whatever it is, I got it. He got it to the top. It's a big old ray.
Can you eat those?
I know sharks. Yeah, actually, it's called skate.
I know sharks love them.
The wing is hot, supposed to be delicious. I haven't tried it. The thing that people are off put with rays is that they breathe through their skin. They take water in through their skin. They put off waste through their skin, which means they pee through their skin. So they kind of stink at first, but then you clean them, and it's just this beautiful, white, flaky flesh that's just sweet and delicious. So, yeah, you can eat them. I'll tell you who to go fishing with that is Will Hughes, Chef Will Hughes. He did an episode with Andrew Zimmern. Where
I
he
saw
cooked,
that.
Yeah.
But they were using bow and arrow.
Yeah, yeah. They were bow fishing.
Bow fishing, yeah.
But he unhooked this one and sent it back on its way. He eats a lot of what he catches, but what he doesn't need, you know, he does his best to return it back.
We were in about a 17, 15-foot boat out by past Sand Island one time, and we come across a ray, and the thing was bigger than our boat was. It was gigantic. It was a monster.
All my friends that are divers have said their favorite thing to encounter is a stingray.
Mm-hmm.
It's like swimming with an angel. They just glide through the water. It's very ethereal. As long as you don't mess with their back, you don't have anything to worry about from a ray.
Hey, Steve tells us we only got 30 seconds left.
Be local.
Be local. We want to talk about that next week.
Yeah.
What local is, folks.
Yeah. 150-mile radius is for produce and meat.
But we have more than that to say about it.
Yeah.
But get out to support local. Be local. Buy local. Be patient, folks, during this time when crowds downtown. Watch out for them. Watch out for them beads.
Duck,
and most
Mike,
of all,
duck. Provolone.